بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. We shall start tonight. We shall start tonight with a recitation of the Holy Quran from Surah Al-Anbiya, the Prophets, verses 105 up to 112. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولقد كتبنا في الزبور من بعد الذكر أن الأرض يرثها عبادي الصالحون. إن في هذا لبلاغا لقوم عابدين. وما للعالمين. وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة قل إنما يوحى إلي أنما إلهكم إله واحد فهل أنتم مسلمون. فإن تولوا فقل آذنتكم على سواء وإن أدري أقريب أم بعيد ما توعدون. إنه يعلم الجهر من القول ويعلم ما تكتمون. وإن أدري لعله فتنة لكم ومتاع إلى حين. قال رب احكم بالحق وربنا الرحمن الرحمن المستعان على ما تصفون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Continuing with the series of Islam 101, which is the basics of Islam. A series that we launched about 3 weeks ago just to understand the basics and the principles of Islam. We started off saying that in order for any person to be a Muslim, you have to believe in three fundamental things. And these rings are, what did we start with? Last 2 weeks we've been talking about one of them, and that was Tawheed, exactly. The second thing which is also important, what is it? Nubuwa, which is prophethood, and that we'll be discussing today. The third one, which is extremely crucial as well, what is it? No, not necessarily. In order to be a Muslim. No, these are not the roots of the religion. Zakat, Hajj are the branches of religion. There's a third one, which is extremely important. You're close. What is? What's next? What's going to happen at the end of time? What do we believe is going to happen? What is it? Yes, you said it. Judgment Day, exactly. Ma'ad, Judgment Day. These three things, every Muslim, every person saying that I am a Muslim has to believe in these three things. Last week we spoke about Tawheed, the last couple weeks. Today, coinciding with the Prophet's birthday, we'll be talking about prophethood, Nubuwwah. The following week we'll be discussing about Judgment Day, Ma'ad. There are two other things as well, the followers of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, the followers of Imam Ali, and the Imams after him, the Prophet, of course, being their leader, and then the Imams. Two additional things they believe in as well, and that is, as you mentioned, sister, Imamah, which is the successorship, the divine successorship to the Prophet, and the last thing is justice, adala, that God is just. We'll discuss those again in the following weeks. These five things are fundamentals, the roots of the religion. You have to believe in these things. Then comes the applications, if you want to call it, the branches of the religion, and that is Salat, Siyam. There are 10 of them, and we'll be discussing them one by one as we come along, inshallah. So these series, I hope that most of you here or all of you can attend as many as you can to understand these basics, because that is the basics of our religion. This way you can understand what are the basics, and then when people ask you about the basics, you can tell them what the basics are. So it's good to equip yourself and to educate others as well. Prophethood. Of course, I extend my congratulations to all of you for the birthday of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. It occurred on the 17th day of the third month of the Islamic calendar, the month of Rabi' al-Awwal, which coincided with yesterday, Thursday, this year. Prophethood. We as Muslims believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very kind, very merciful. God loves each and every human being that He creates. He equipped every human being with what? This thing in here. What is it? Not the brain. Even sheep has brain. The animals have a brain as well. But a mind, exactly. It's the mind. That's what distinguishes us from the animals. Everybody has brains, but it is the mind. In Arabic, they call it al-aql. The mind. So every human being has got the mind. With the mind alone, people can deduce that God exists. Allah says, فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا, that this is the nature, the instinct of the human being. Every human being, if he or she thinks a little bit wisely, can conclude or come to the conclusion that there exists Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a God, a creator of this universe. And in the past couple of lectures, the past couple of weeks, we discussed about how some scientists and astronauts came to this conclusion just by thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, using their mind a little bit, that how could this universe, all of it, exist without a creator when it's so perfect in its existence? Look at the human being when he or she is so perfect, so well-functioning, the way that the body functions, the way that this whole universe is made up from stars and planets and so on and so forth. How could this have come without a creator? So the mind, when people think a little bit, can conclude there exists Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you find this instinct happening During times of difficulty, that's when the instinct shows up. When people go and through an extreme difficulty, the Quran gives an example. God says that if people go into a ship, into the water, and imagine a big storm comes to attack this ship in the middle of the water, you find people's hearts at that moment attached to something, praying to something. When they're in the most difficulty, you find, for example, the waves are moving the ship right and left, right and left. The captain announces, we're going to drown. There's not much help that we can do. At that moment, you find people on that ship, everybody's praying hard to whatever it is that they're praying to. They find their hearts is attached to something. That something, that whatever it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is God. So at the time of difficulty, this acceptance or belief in Allah shows up. This is through the mind. But in addition to God's mercy, God is so merciful, He loves His servants so much that He wants, in addition to the mind, to show them the way. Besides the mind, He has sent messengers and prophets. These prophets guide the humanity to understand that there is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There exists a God. In addition to that, these prophets and messengers show us how can we pray and worship this God. So that is the task of these prophets. Every prophet that was sent, Prophet Adam alayhi salam, who was the first prophet, Prophet Ibrahim and Nuh, all the way to the conclusion, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, they were sent to show people, first of all, to advise them to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing is to show them how to do so. That's why those prophets are perfect individuals. They have to be perfect individuals because they are the role models that God wants us to follow. If you want to worship me, if you want to follow me the way I want to be worshipped, you have to follow the prophets. You have to follow their example. That's why God tells us in the Quran that in the example of the prophet is a role model for every human being who seeks God's pleasure and is expecting judgment day. If you think there will be a day of judgment, you have to be prepared for it. How do you prepare for it? Follow the example of the prophet. Pray the way he used to pray. Fast the way he used to fast. Deal with one another, with your parents, the way he used to deal with his mother. He couldn't see his father, unfortunately, because he died before the prophet's birth. Deal with your neighbors the way the prophet dealt with his neighbors. Deal with your friends the way he dealt with his friends. Deal with your enemies the way he dealt with his enemies, with compassion, with kindness, with mercy. That is the example of the prophet. You follow his example, you'll be successful. Not just him, all the prophets. The Quran doesn't tell us how many prophets there were, but according to some traditions, it is said that there are 124,000 prophets. 124,000. And God says in the Quran, we are not going to punish a certain group of people or a certain city or a certain tribe unless we send a messenger. After God sends a messenger to the people, once they don't believe in that message, they deny the message, then God will save the believers and will punish those who do not follow and do not believe in Him. So this is the task of all those prophets. That's why, my dear brothers and sisters, the preachings and the teachings of all prophets are one. All prophets talked about one thing. And that is what? What is the message of all prophets? The same message, the same religion. And what is it? One God. And what else? What else? What religion do we follow? Islam. Are we the only Muslims? Ibrahim was not a Muslim, or was he a Muslim? Abraham, according to the Bible. Was he a Muslim? Yes. What about Prophet Nuh? Was he a Muslim? What about Prophet Sulaiman? He was a Muslim. Prophet Yusuf, Ibrahim, In fact, the Quran tells us Ibrahim is the prophet who named us as Muslims. He officially put the label, you know, the stamp, that the followers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the Muslims, the believers, which means the submitters, the one who submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nuh says, I am of the Muslimin, I'm among the Muslims. Prophet Joseph, who was among the prophets of the children of Israel. Jacob is considered to be Israel, his children are the children of Israel. So Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, Joseph, and so on and so forth. He says in the end of Surah Yusuf, he says, my Lord, وَأَلْحَقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ, that make me, وَتَوَفَّنِي مُسْلِمًا, that make me die as a Muslim, as a person who submits to your will. Prophet Sulaiman, that we discussed his story a while back, when he wrote a letter to the queen of Saba, the queen of Balqis. He told her, come to me as Muslims. Come to me as submitters to the will of Allah. Ibrahim says, I am a submitter. I submit to the will of Allah. Musa, Isa, all of them say that we submit to the will of Allah. So when the prophets, when people ask you, what do you believe in Islam? Tell them that Islam just does not include Muslims only. Because I have been asked this question before. There is a verse in the Quran that says, only the Muslims are the successful ones. So a person asks, what about the Christians? They're not successful? Are they all going to go to the hellfire? The Jews are going to go to the hellfire? I told them, no, that's not necessarily true. Because every Jew, every Christian, every person who submits to the will of Allah, who says, I believe in God, I submit to His decree, to His will, that person, according to Arabic context, is a Muslim. So therefore, according to Islamic context, he or she is also a Muslim, he or she can go to the heaven, or like any other Muslim who does not follow the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may also end up into the hellfire as well. So Allah's mercy is so great. Those prophets taught about Islam, one religion, the way how to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to worship God. The same message. That's why if you look at the message and the religion of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, you find there are some details of the religion very closely related to Christianity, very closely related to Judaism. Why? Because it's the same religion. One day I went to the church, I gave a speech about the birthday of Isa, Jesus, according to the Quran, at a church. People came to me after the speech and they said, we didn't know the Quran talks about Isa's birthday with so much detail. It's as if just like it's like the Bible. It's almost identical to what's written in the Bible. I told them, well, the source is one source. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who taught you the Bible. He is the one who taught us the Quran. That's why they're very similar. These are the prophets who have been sent to Allah subhanahu by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now each prophet must have a good reputation. One among the criteria. He must have a good reputation. You find every prophet perfect. From the minute they were born, he was born. They're all perfect. In fact, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam was nicknamed, termed as what? Before even he became a prophet, before he even became a messenger, what was his title? What the people used to call him in Quraysh, the tribes of Quraysh, his own tribe in Mecca. He had two titles. What were they? Anybody knows? Al-Amin. What does Al-Amin mean? The trustworthy. And what is the other title? The truthful. What is the truthful? You're right. As-Sadiq. As-Sadiq al-Amin. That was his title. Before he even declared his prophethood. In a society that did not even know what is the meaning of Sadiq, truthfulness, and honesty. That's why when the Prophet showed these characteristics, people were like, oh wow, this person is unique. He's truthful and he's honest. That's why he was given this title. He came from such a society that was nomadic. People used to live a tribal life. Yet he had such great manners and akhlaq. From the beginning of his birth, he displayed great akhlaq, great manners, the signs of prophethood. From childhood, God spoke about Yahya alayhi salam, the son of Zakariya. God says in Surah Maryam, وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْحُكْمَ صَبِيَّ, that we have given him the signs of prophethood, the gestures of prophethood when he was a little boy. From the time when he was a little boy, people, when they looked at Yahya alayhi salam, they could realize this is not an ordinary boy. He must become something important. And indeed, he was a messenger, he was a prophet. And he was sent as a messenger. So that's one thing. Another thing is a miracle by God. And a miracle is something that cannot be done by a human being. That's why it's a miracle. Mu'jiza, min i'jaz. It cannot be replicated. For example, Prophet Musa, what was his miracle? Moses. He had several miracles. One of them, the most famous one. What was it? You should know this. What is it? The splitting of the sea, but what else? He had something even more visible, more. The stick, the cane, right? What happened to the cane of Musa alayhi salam? It turned into what? A snake. Now what scientist can do something like this? It's impossible. That's why some scientists claim that there can't be miracles, they don't exist. Because according to science and math, they just cannot happen. Well, we tell them that's why it's a miracle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala displays it, shows it, so that it is not something that can be replicated or done by a human being. That's why it proves the prophethood of a certain prophet. That was Musa alayhi salam, a prophet by the name of Salih. Prophet Salih, not this Salih. Prophet Salih had a miracle. Do you remember what is the miracle of Prophet Salih alayhi salam? Thamud, the tribe of Thamud, they had what? The camel. Have you heard of the camel? You haven't heard of the camel? Well, he had a camel. We don't have time to talk about the camel, unfortunately. How many of you have seen a camel? No? You should go to the Middle East to see a camel, yeah, if you haven't seen one. Maybe the zoo, I don't know. Does the zoo here have a camel? Yeah, mashallah. You could see them in the Middle East quite often, on the streets sometimes, in certain countries and certain villages. He had a special camel. Prophet Isa alayhi salam, what was his miracle? He cured the blind, he revived the dead. That was his miracle. Now, who can revive the dead? It's impossible. Scientists will tell you it's impossible. Tell them that's why God showed something which is impossible. That if you challenge me, Prophet Isa alayhi salam told his people, if you challenge me, if you challenge my prophethood, if you have a problem with me, here is what God has given me the permission to do. Revive the dead. Can you do that? If you can, then believe in me as a prophet of God. I believe in God. Worship God. What was the miracle of our prophet? Peace be upon him. The one that is visible before us, living until today. What is it? The Quran, exactly. The Quran. It's a living miracle until today. No scientist, no linguist, no historian has ever managed to dispute the Quran until today. Every person, Muslims and non-Muslims alike, when they study the Quran, they say this is a perfect book. It's perfect. When it comes to grammar, it's perfect. When it comes to history and language, it's perfect. When it comes to a book of literature, it's perfect. In fact, I heard one day a professor who used to teach at UBC, he's retired now, his name was Hanna Qassis, Dr. Hanna Qassis. He retired several years ago. I heard him one day lecture. He said that if I were to treat the Quran as a book of literature, just a book of literature, never mind the other great traits of the Quran, if I were to treat it as a book of literature, I can conclude that this book is a divine book because it is so perfect in its written format as a literature book that there could not have been written by a human being. This must have come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the miracle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. These are the signs of the Prophet, peace be upon them. They never do anything wrong, they're ma'sumeen, infallible. Never, ever. From the time of their birth until the time they die. They don't do anything that is wrong, they don't do any mistake. Nothing. They're perfect, infallible. Because otherwise, how could they be role models? If they make mistakes, if they lie, if they forget, how can they be role models? Therefore, it is logical to conclude that the prophets, peace be upon them, are all fully infallible, ma'sumeen. They don't make any mistakes. This is prophethood. And this was carried over from Prophet Adam until Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, whose birthday we're celebrating tonight. Very briefly, his father's name is Abdullah. And what does Abdullah mean? The slave or the servant of God. Now, I have a question to ask you. If he did not believe in God, how could he be Abdullah? Right? In essence, Islam came after Abdullah. In fact, Abdullah died before even the Prophet was born. He died while his mother, his wife, was pregnant with the Prophet. So he never saw his son. He died. But his name was Abdullah. This tells us that the tribe, the Prophet's father, was a believer in God. He believed. So was his grandfather. And that's why the Prophet himself says that I come from a pure progeny, from a pure ancestors. All my ancestors, all of them, were believers in God. Not a single one of my forefathers did not believe in God. All of them. They're all pure. That's what the Prophet says. This is his father, Abdullah. Abdullah unfortunately died before the Prophet was born. His wife, the Prophet's mother, what was her name? Amina. Amina bint Wahab. Amina bint Wahab. She was the Prophet's mother. She gave birth to the Prophet. She says that when the time of my delivery came, I saw some angels come from the heavens. They came to assist me in delivering my child. Nowadays, when a woman delivers, she goes to the hospital. The nurses, the doctors there assist her in delivering the child, the baby. For the Prophet's mother, Allah sent angels specifically dedicated to help his mother to deliver him. When he was delivered, they took care of him. They showered him, they washed him, they clothed him, and then they brought him back to his mother. The mother did not have any milk to feed the child, unfortunately, this baby. So she had to give him to someone else to feed. And that person was Halima, Halima Sa'diyya. She took the Prophet to nurse him. Halima was a poor lady. She used to nurse babies for a living. She took the Prophet. She said, the minute I took the Prophet Muhammad, blessings, my life became blessed. My children started getting blessed, my life, my sustenance, I started getting more money. I became richer, wealthier. She was a noble lady, she was a great lady. When the Prophet was 3 years old, he wanted to go with Halima's children to look after the sheep. They had some sheep, they were shepherds. So the Prophet told her, can I go with your children to take care of the sheep? She said, yes. She gave him a necklace that she made him wear. He said, what is this necklace? She said, I would like you to wear it so that it will protect you. He took it off his neck and he said, there is he, the one who is taking care of me and protecting me. I don't need this to protect me. And he left when he was 3 years old. Then, unfortunately, at that young age, his mother passed away. So he was born as an orphan, and then his mom, few years later, passed away. Then it is his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, his father's father. He took care of him. He started raising him. Until he was 7 years old. At the age of seven, unfortunately, his grandfather also passed away. That's when he was taken by his uncle, Abu Talib, Imam Ali's father. Imam Ali's father took care of the Prophet and he raised him in his house. And then he trained him how to be a businessman. When the Prophet was a young boy, the Abu Talib took him one day in a trip, in a business trip to Damascus, Syria. While they were on their way to Syria, they stopped by a church. The priest noticed something unusual, the one who was residing in that church. He came out. He took a look around. He saw there is a group of businessmen. He asked them, "Where do you come from?" They said, "We come from Mecca." He said, "What is unusual about you?" He said, "There is nothing unusual. We're all human beings. What do you mean was unusual?" He said, "Is there a person with you this time who has not come with you before to Damascus for business?" They said, "Yes." "Who is he?" "This little boy." And they pointed at the Prophet. The Prophet at that point was sitting under the tree. They said, "You see that boy under the tree? That is the man, that is the young person who is the first time to come with us in this business trip." He looked at him and he said, "People, take care of that young boy. For one day he is going to be a great man." They said, "How do you know this?" He said, "According to the prophecy that I have heard, the person who is to sit under this tree at this time of the year, at this season, and this date, is a man who is going to be a prophet. Take care of this boy. He will be a prophet of God." Since that day, the Prophet's uncle, Abu Talib, started observing the Prophet, and indeed, everything about him was unusual. The way he behaved, the way he spoke, his manners, his akhlaq, his character, it was all perfect. Wherever he went, he was a man of blessing. Wherever, whatever he did, it was blessing. Any business he would run, it would generate lots of money. So he was a blessed person wherever he was. Until he reached the age of 25, that's when a very noble lady in the tribe of Quraysh, a lady by the name of Khadija, asked the Prophet to marry her. And indeed, he married her. She was at the time 40 years old. He was 25 years old. He married her and she gave the birth to Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, the Prophet's daughter, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told the Prophet that she is a great source of blessing. الخير الكثير in Surah what? Surah Al-Kawthar. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar fasalli lirabbika wanhar inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar is Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. She's a great blessing. Great blessing. That was at the age of 25, of course, when he married Khadija. And then the Prophet at the age of 40 was declared as a messenger. So, when he was declared as a messenger, Khadija took care of him. She helped him. People started bothering him. His tribe started hurting him, harassing him. Yet he was very patient. 5 years after his message, Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam was born. And then a few years later, he traveled to Medina, where he established the Islamic society. And many people, after seeing the Prophet, hearing the Prophet, started getting attracted to Islam. And since that day, Islam grew in numbers and grew in numbers until today, it's become one of the world's fastest growing religion. And great people have analyzed the Prophet's history and they always commend him, praise him, for what he contributed to humanity. That's why Mahatma Gandhi, when he looks at the life of the Prophet, he says he was a great man. It was not the sword that spread Islam. It was the Prophet's compassion, his bravery, his intrepidity, his compassion with his companions and friends. That is what spread Islam and attracted people to Islam, not the sword, and helped the Muslims to pass every obstacle that came in their way. So my dear brothers and sisters, we as Muslims believe in all prophets, starting with Adam alayhi salam, all the way to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We believe the Prophet Muhammad is the seal of the prophets. That's it, there's no more prophets after him. He was a great man who was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the messenger of Islam, who guided many humanity, the humanity in fact, to the great path, converted societies from being nomads, simple, to great civilization like the Islamic civilization. And until today we see the contributions of the Holy Prophet to all societies. That is our belief in prophethood, Nubuwwah. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.